This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the No Nay Never preview show for Tottenham Hotspur at home. Now, this is Burnley's third home match of the season, would you believe? And it's only our third match of the Premier League season. But it's another home game and we'll be talking all things Tottenham Hotspur. No Nay Never Podcast! Now, before we move on to Tottenham, we have actually got an extra special guest alongside myself, George Poole, and obviously our usual magician in the preview show, Dave Roberts. We've also got Tom Whittaker from the Usual Analysis Show. And that's because, Tom, you were at the Nottingham Forest game last night, weren't you, in the Cup? Just let us know. How was it? Thoughts? Was it an enjoyable evening? Because I know when I saw the goal from Amdouni, the scenes in the away end look absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think we've all been a little bit starved of something to cheer about in the last few months. I know I've been, the three games I've been to since we beat Cardiff were Genk, Mainz and Man City. So I'd not seen a score for about 3 months. So even though it was just a Carabao Cup second round winner, it was celebrated like something very special. Yeah, brilliant night. We played well, actually. I think it was an improvement on the first two games in that we had a bit more control of the game. You know, it was a bit more like what we saw last season, controlling possession. Forest were quite sort of defensive, quite negative at home, I thought. I suppose when you've got Chris Wood up front, it's going to be difficult to carve out too many great chances. But yeah, I think we were the better team, especially second half. We kicked on. Obviously, we had a few injuries, which was the major sort of downside of the night. Ekdal getting stretchered off and Bettini on Ramsey. I don't think they'll be out for too long, but there might be doubts now for the Spurs game. But the subs we brought on, I thought Cullen made a massive difference. We really controlled the game once he was on, as usual. You know, everything goes through him. And we got to see Amdouni at the end. He looks a really special player, doesn't he? His close control is magnificent. He was bringing other players into the game, operated really well in that number 10. And then, of course, got his first goal as well, took it superbly well. All in all, it was a great night. And we've got a nice little title to look forward to in the next round as well.
Yeah, we do. And just before I bring you in, Dave, on the next tie, I was going to ask about Sander Berge and Muric, because, Tom, for me, coming off the weekend game against Villa, I thought James Trafford was really unconvincing for the first and the third goals. And I did miss Muric's presence. So I'm interested to know how he did against Forest. Obviously, it wasn't streamed anywhere, so I couldn't see any of the game. And also Sander Berge, because that's another one where I came out of the Villa game thinking, I'm not really sure where he fits here, because he was, you know, playing as that deep player next to Cullen, or he was in my mind. But then when the game kicked off, he was 30 yards up the pitch and struggled to get involved. So how did those two get on last night?
Yeah, they both played well. Starting with Muric, then I think you have to caveat his performance by saying Nottingham Forest didn't actually have a shot on target. So when you're a keeper, that's always an easier night. It was the usual stuff with Muric, really. His distribution was really good, kept the tempo going well. He was picking out passes in the midfield. There's a couple of crosses, especially in the second half. He came for him and he dropped him and he got to them again. So he sort of corrected his own mistake. But it's the usual thing with Muric, you know, it's if he's, you know, when there's balls in the box like that, he doesn't always convince. But as I say, he corrected his own mistakes. He got great reception from the travelling fans as well. Everyone, this sort of feeling he got from the away end was that they'd be happy to see him playing again on Saturday. And then in terms of Burge, I think he was playing a bit further forward than he was against Villa. And when he got on the ball, he looked really good. If you watch the highlights back, you'll see the goal from Amdouni's all comes from Burge, really. Picks it up sort of in the middle of midfield, driving run through, and there's two Forest players who come to try and tackle him, and he just swats them away. They both end up on their arses, picks a good ball out for Goodmunson, and that's how we got the goal. So, yeah, that was an eye-catching bit of play. And as I say, he looks a bit further forward, and he played really well. I was impressed.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear that, because I think that's the impression we all got from Sheffield United fans, was alongside obviously the sort of bitter comments about him, there was a genuine sense of this guy cannot play a holding midfielder. That's not, ironically, for a 6'3" lad, that's not how he plays. He plays as that further forward, and he can make those runs like I saw in the highlights last night. So yeah, possibly it's one of them with Burge where company's just finding out exactly where to play him. But straight after the match, we obviously got the cup draw, and to the surprise of everybody, it wasn't a club in Manchester away from home. Well, in some ways, it was very close to Manchester. We got Salford away. Now, I'm going to go to our stat man, Dave Roberts, for the first time. So, Dave, how are your thoughts on the cup tie last night? On the draw, sorry.
Yeah, it's a good one, really, from our point of view. I mean, you'd have preferred to be at home, I think, but playing a side lower down, it's a great chance for us to progress to the last 16, isn't it? So, we're used to being drawn against likes of Manchester City. Thankfully, we avoided them this time anyway. So, yeah, real good chance to go away from home. A new ground to go to. We've not played Salford before. I think we played them behind closed doors friendly a year or two back. But none of us were able to see that. So it's a new ground for Burnley fans to go to. So it'll be a good one in, I think, 2-3 weeks' time, isn't it, when that game goes ahead?
Yeah, annoyingly, it's the week commencing, literally like a day after I've moved back down to Bath. So it's going to be one that I'm not going to be able to go to, annoyingly. But Tom, what are you fancying? Are you fancying going to that game, or is that a bit far on a Tuesday night or wherever from Derby?
Yeah, it's a bit of a trek, but when it's a new ground, well, I've been before, but not to see Burnley, and I never call it a proper tick unless I've seen Burnley there. So, yeah, I think I'll be trying to use a bit of annual leave for that one. I think it should be a good trip.
Yeah, well, hopefully, and I think there'll be many fans after tickets for that. So we'll have to see if us top tier ticket holders can get tickets for that. I'm sure you'll be fine, Tom. But I suppose we better get on to the Tottenham Hotspur game, because that's what we're all here to preview. Now, once again, before we get into the nitty-gritty, so to speak, we're going to have a quiz question for you right at the start of the show, or 5 or 10 minutes into the show tonight, going off what I've done. And we will reveal the answers just before the end of the episode. This time around, we have our regular played for both question. So, namely, and listen up, folks, can you tell us which four players have made at least 50 league appearances for Burnley and Spurs in the post-war era? And just bear in mind, that's up to the end of last season. So at least 50 games in the league for both teams. But this time, we're also going to throw in an extra bonus question, as we also want to know the name of the only player, so that's one player, who has played for our last opponents, Aston Villa, our next opponents, Spurs, as well as for Burnley in the post-war era. Now, as always for this season, we will reveal the answers before the end of the show. So stick with us. But Dave, I'm going to throw over to you for a summary of past matches against Spurs at Turf Moor.
Yeah, looking back at past matches against Spurs at Turf Moor, previous league seasons, there's been 52 of them. 42 of those 52 have been in the top flight, and 8 of those have been in the Premier League era. Overall, in our 52 home league games against Spurs, there have been 27 Burnley wins, 15 draws and 10 defeats. And Burnley have 95 goals against 60 for Spurs. In the Premier League, it's 3 Burnley wins, 2 draws and 3 wins for Spurs.
Remarkable that. You'd have thought, I suppose if you'd have told any of us when we got promoted in 2009 that we'd have as many wins as Spurs do against us at Turf in the next 14 years, I think we'd all be very surprised. But yeah, wow, 3 wins apiece. Now, so far this season, we've been reminding you of 2 matches in our ones to remember and ones to forget feature. But this time, we're only going to recap one match. as the performance was one that Burnley fans certainly want to remember, even if there wasn't quite the happy ending we had been hoping for. And Dave, I've been really looking forward to this one this week because this is one of my favourite matches I've ever been to as a fan. So go on, what match are we in particular remembering this week?
Well, we have some Premier League wins to choose from. We're actually going back for a cup game, and the match we're going to take a look back at was a bittersweet occasion from January 2009, with Burnley having a seemingly impossible task in the second leg of the League Cup semi-final, Carling Cup as it was then. We were trailing 4-1 from the first leg at White Hart Lane, and no one really gave the Clarets any hope of getting back into the tie from three goals down. But there was a packed Turf Moor. I was there as well. Annoying Coyle's team had different ideas. A cheeky first half free kick from Robbie Blake enabled us to pull one back, and it was Blake whose jinking runs gave the Spurs defenders nightmares and ultimately led to our second goal, which came from Chris McCann. When substitute Jay Rodriguez levelled the aggregate score at 4-4 with just over 2 minutes remaining, we began to believe in the impossible. Sadly, away goals only came into the equation after extra time, and there were only 3 minutes remaining in the second period of extra time when Spurs striker Roman Pavlyuchenko broke Claret's hearts when he slid a shot past Brian Jensen in the Burnley goal. And there was no way back when Jermaine Defoe scored again, meaning that our cup romance had ended in tears and our hopes of reaching Wembley had been dashed. However, that night spurred the team on for the remainder of the season. And as we now know, we did eventually reach Wembley in the playoff final, where a 1-0 victory over Sheffield United ensured our promotion to the Premier League to end a 33-year wait to get back to the top flight.
Yeah, it all ended happily ever after, I suppose, then. But I can never really get that night out of my mind. I remember, I'm not sure why, but I think because we'd been to Chelsea earlier in that Carling Cup one, we didn't go on the turf for that match and we watched from home. And I remember just being floods and floods of tears. And the next day I went in and my year three teacher, Mrs. Foster, was a Burnley fan as well. And she said, oh, you know, I did watch the game last night. And as soon as she actually asked me, I broke down again in tears. Like, I was inconsolable. I thought, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to a football club. Tom, memories from that night?
Yeah, the name Roman Pavlyuchenko still sends a shiver down my spine. Don't think he ever did anything else at Spurs, did he, either? But I can remember when Rodriguez scored for 3-0, the atmosphere was just unbelievable. But I was thinking, we had him on the ropes then, and I was thinking, please God, get a fourth, because I can't do another half an hour of this. And yeah, unfortunately, we didn't manage it. But yeah, it was a great night. And I think a lot of what we've had in the last, in the 10 years since, and you know, the Wembley win, it wouldn't have happened without that, I don't think. So it's one to look back on with a bit of a bittersweet feeling, I think.
14 years, Tom.
14 years. I didn't realise George was year three only 14 years ago. I thought that was more recent.
I know. If, you know, you're looking at his facial and you're thinking he's only just turned 17 or something. But it was, yeah, it was. I'd recommend any Burnley fans once, and I say this once after you've finished watching or listening to this preview show, just type in on YouTube The Impossible Dream, Burnley Tottenham, and there's just a fantastic 3-minute video from, I think it was ITV, it was Granada Reports the following night.
BBC, yeah.
Was it BBC? Oh, it was just absolutely superb, yeah, with that music over the top. If I ever want to like get feel sad or really get into my feels about Burnley, I'll just watch that video. It's just, yeah, it's immense. And you know, there's been a few rumours of maybe Jay Rodriguez might leave the club tomorrow, but it just makes you realise how long it's been since then. He was literally just a little kid, you know, with bum fluff, just knocking it in past, was it Ben Amos? He was having it was Ben Anik.
Ben Anik.
Yeah. He was having an absolute nightmare in goal.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's go to Dave for some match details. So Dave, who's in charge and who's going to make sure that we get no red cards on Saturday?
Well, we've got Darren England of Doncaster. He's going to take charge of Saturday's match at Turf Moor. And he was the referee last season for our 3-0 home win over Birmingham City. And his only previous Burnley match in the Premier League was another Burnley win. That was an emphatic 4-0 away win at Wolves. That was in April 2021, Chris Wood scoring a first-half hat-trick in that match. He's also taken charge of two Burnley defeats. They were in cup competitions against Sunderland in the League Cup at Turf Moor in August 2019, and also the FA Cup fifth-round defeat to Bournemouth. That was in February 2021. No red cards were shown to either side, you'll be pleased to hear, in any of his four previous Burnley matches. And finally, for this section, John Brooks is going to be the video assistant referee on Saturday afternoon.
Tom, do you have any memories from that Wolves away one? Because that was in the height of the 4-0. Was it during the lockdown? I feel like it might have been, so there was no fans there, actually. I'm asking our usual go-to guy, but that was a behind-the-closed-door one. I mean, I remember that was the height of, like, Barnes and Wood still in emphatic form at that point.
Yeah, it's first-half hat-trick, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, very good. I think that pretty much kept us up as well.
Yeah, it did. I remember it was one of them where you thought, wow, we really turned a corner that season after Christmas, really. And then, in Project Restart, we were fantastic and one of the better teams in the Premier League, which I won't be surprised that's a lot down to, you know, the fitness regime, et cetera, that maybe Dyche and his coaching staff will have made the players stick to during the lockdown. But it'll be Spurs again this Saturday. And I guess it's time to talk about the team, the players. You know, there might even be new players involved because just as we were coming to air tonight, we announced a new signing. Han Noah Masengo was announced, a free transfer from Bristol City. He was out of contract at Bristol City at the end of last season. And it sounds like from a mate of mine who's a Bristol City fan, he was refusing to sign a contract for the past year. And that's why he was sent out on loan in January. So this was a transfer that we've been linked with for a few months now. And I suppose it's nice to get it over the line, Tom. You know, a midfielder maybe offering that more physical presence next to Cullen.
Yeah, I think we probably could have done with one more body in there. You got a few options there now as well. And then obviously there's a lot of rumours about Brownhill leaving as well. So if that were to come to pass, then we've got a bit of cover. So happy with that. I don't anticipate him going straight into the team, especially with his age. Maybe one for the under-23s or maybe one to go out on loan again. Or we might see him against Salford. But yeah, free transfer. You can't really argue there's no risk with that.
No, and I suppose from free transfer to big transfer, the next man linked in the last couple of days, it's been a bit of an up and down one. My heart's been going one way or the other. At one point, I thought Mike Trezor, you know, was our new saviour. And then the next minute, I really dislike the guy because he's turned us down. But the latest twist in this saga is that apparently, according to Sasha Tavolieri, easy for me to say, Mike Trezor is going to become a Burnley player tomorrow on deadline day on September 1st. His medicals are booked. And I believe it's a loan with then a view to buy, it's an obligation to buy for 18 million next summer. Now, Dave, our spending this summer has been ridiculous, hasn't it? We're already over 100 million. Do you have any concerns about how much we've spent and how many players we've brought in?
I suppose there is that nagging doubt at the back of your mind, where's all the cash come from? Because although we have got new owners, they haven't. They've had to finance it in such a way that they weren't putting a lot of their own money in. So the money's obviously come from somewhere. And obviously there is a plan behind it. The type of players they're bringing in are ones that are ideally going to have high resale value as well. But perhaps to do it all in one go has been a little bit of a surprise. You thought they might have speculated to accumulate and kind of done it over two, maybe three windows, but there's been a lot of activity. As you say, we're already up to around 100 million with the potential of that going even higher before the transfer window closes. So, yeah, I guess it's one where we have to wait and see and hopefully trust the methodology that the board and the manager have in terms of the confidence they have in these players. And the likelihood is that further down the line, some of them will have to be sold to enable us to kind of continue and invest in future windows as well.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. And with the new contracts that we've offered to players, I do have it in the back of my mind that I do think we're on that cycle already. We're already thinking about what players we might sell next summer and the players that will come into the team to replace them. Now, staying with you, Dave, there's a couple more rumours before tomorrow's deadline of possibly Ian Mattson coming on loan and maybe Divock Origi coming from AC Milan or Daka coming from Leicester. So you've got a left-back and a striker there. And Sky Sports reported tonight that Origi's meeting with two Premier League clubs this evening. This is Thursday evening to discuss, you know, his next steps. So, Dave, if you had the option of maybe just one of these signings coming off tomorrow, a left-back or a striker, which one would it be? I think we'd probably know your answer, but why? Why would you choose the one that you'd go for?
I think like we said, all the window, I think, is that left-back's been a position where we do need to strengthen. We've obviously tried to get Ian Mattson, and there does seem to be a chance that might still happen, even if that is on loan for another season. I mean, it's interesting looking at other players available in the window as well. Taylor Harwood-Bellis is believed to be, and he's talked about going to back into the Championship for next season, which was perhaps a little bit of a surprise. You'd have thought maybe from City's point of view, they might have wanted him to try out in the Premier League to see whether he's up to scratch. I mean, obviously he's played under 21s, but in terms of his progression, you'd have thought he might be looking to get a go in the Premier League side. It might be a position where we were looking to strengthen, but we haven't gone for him as yet. But yeah, left back was certainly one where I think everyone wanted us to strengthen, and Ian Mattson would be, well, we know what he's capable of. We saw what he's capable of last season, and we've seen glimpses of it already for Chelsea this season as well. So he'd be a fantastic addition if we were able to get him on loan for another 12 months.
Yeah, that one's the dream for me. I think Origi would be, you know, a cherry on top, as well as Trezor and Massengo today, but we really do need a left back. I think we saw it at Nottingham Forest how much more balanced the team was when we just had Charlie Taylor playing at left back, for example. Now, sticking on the topic of Charlie Taylor, actually, then, Tom, it's a nice way to segue, I suppose, into the starting 11 for Tottenham. I know we've had a bit of discussion about this in the No Name Ever group chat today about who we'd start for Saturday's game. And Tom, I believe you put Charlie Taylor straight into your starting 11. So can you let us know who you'd start, and then also maybe speculate about how your starting 11 might differ from that of Vincent Kompany come 3 o'clock on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't really understand the omission of Taylor from the first two games, if I'm honest. Last season, obviously, he was more used as a centre-half, and he seemed to play in the games where we were away from home and expected to be under the cosh a little bit. I remember him being outstanding away at Luton and away at Blackburn, for example. I mean, I understand why, you know, Kompany doesn't fancy him. He obviously doesn't suit the system that he wants, where the fullbacks are sort of stepping into midfield. Technically, he's not as good on the ball as some of the players we've signed. He just slowed the game down. But I think, you know, we saw Richard did some really good analysis on the way we were getting caught in behind by Villa, pacey wingers, and it was noticeable last night when Forrest brought Morgan Gibbs-White and Brennan Johnson on. They had a lot more threat down the sides, but I thought Taylor dealt with it really well. He kept Johnson pretty quiet, pretty shackled. So you think if we're, you know, when we're playing one of the better sides in the division, you might want to include him there for a bit more balance and a bit more solidity. But I think Kompany's mindset is, let's take the game to whoever we're playing at the turf. And for that reason, I don't expect him to pick Taylor. I think we'll probably see either Delcroix or Roberts out there again.
Yeah, I'd be surprised to see Delcroix out there. I think it's pretty telling the fact that at half-time against Villa, he got moved into centre-half. And I must say, I did really like him at centre-back. I thought he did quite well in that second half. But yeah, at left-back, he didn't quite quite seem comfortable. So I would be surprised to see him there. I'm with you, Tom, to be honest. I'd start to Ollie Taylor. I think he's been unfairly treated in a way. I know these conversations will be happening behind the scenes, letting him know exactly why this and that's happening or it's not happening. But for me, until you bring in a better left-back than Taylor, you should be playing him. So that's one for me that I'd differ from company. Now, Dave, we saw a few promising performances in the last few games, I think, especially out wide. You've got Luca Colioshaw, who I think looked really promising, but raw at the same time. Now, he's only 18 years old. Would you keep Colioshaw in the side for the Tottenham game, or would you bring him out now? He's had that little bit of experience and maybe go with a more experienced player in the likes of a Goodmanson or a Brun Larsen.
Oh, you've got the option, I suppose, to bring him on as an impact sub, similar to what we did with Manuel Benson last season as well. But we did seem, certainly the start of the second half in the Forest game, when Goodmanson came on, it did give us a bit of impetus, certainly for the first sort of 15, 20 minutes until they got their third goal. But he's got plenty of options, hasn't he? He's got options in the wide positions. We've obviously spent heavily to get players into those positions. So it may be a case of mix and match and get a different player in and have him in a different role, bring him on for maybe the last half an hour or so when the Spurs players are a bit more tired, and then he's got even more chance to go at some tired defenders.
Yeah, I think it was interesting. You know, we've seen Manuel Benson come off the bench so many times and make that impact as a substitute. So maybe it's a case of holding these guys on the bench, that the players that you think in the last half an hour of the game, they'll use their pace to get past a man and really take the game to tired defenders. Maybe someone like an Eric Dyer, who apparently we've had a loan bid rejected for. I'm not sure how much truth there is in that. But going back to you, Tom, in terms of the wingers, would you start with a Colioshaw, a Benson, those kind of players where you know they're sharp, they're at it right from minute one? Or would you maybe plump for a more experienced figure, you know, someone like a Brun Larsen or maybe a Nathan Redmond? I know we've only seen him as a substitute so far.
Yeah, I think for me, it comes back to what I was saying about Taylor. I think it's just having a bit more solidity on the flank. I think we looked a lot better in the second half against Villa when Goodmanson came on playing out wide. It seems strange that he was a midfielder last season and we signed a load of wingers and then he turns back into a winger, but I digress. Yeah, I think for me, I think Benson, we've always seen he's better as an impact sub. And I think there's probably a solid argument to say that that could be the case with Colioshaw as well, especially with his pace and his directness. So yeah, for me, I think I'd like to see maybe Goodmanson on the right and either Brun Larsen or Redmond on the left. I think all three of them played pretty well last night. Just, you know, keep it. Let's not let the game get away from us like it has done in the last two home games. And if we're still in it with 20 minutes to go, even if that's a goal behind, you know, you've got players who can come on and cause problems for the opposition in Benson and Colioshaw. So, yeah, I think that's what I prefer to see. But again, I can see company just saying let's go for it from the first whistle and start in Colioshaw.
Yeah, well, one of the things I really want to see on Saturday was just not to concede in the first 8 minutes of the game. You know, I think it'd really set us up for a much better performance if we're not chasing our tails. And I suppose in terms of the solidity of the side, it's not only the personnel, it's the formation we play. Now, we saw against Man City, we played, you know, a back five with, you know, three centre halves and you had your two wing backs. And then for the Villa game, we sort of went to a more normal four at the back. Dave, what would you do against Tottenham? Because I suppose in my mind, Tottenham are that sort of big five or six clubs that you may go more defensive against. But if you'd have then asked me at the start of the season which team out of Villa or Tottenham are better, I'd have probably gone with Villa. So I suppose Villa and Tottenham aren't too dissimilar these days in terms of the stature of club.
Yeah, the benefit we have is that there's no Harry Kane. He has a habit of scoring goals against us, so at least we don't have that to contend with on Saturday. But they do have other quality players that are capable of scoring against us, and we've seen in previous matches. But we don't have a bad record against them, as we've said already, at Turf Moor. So we'll be looking to, you know, we'd like to get something out of our home games. We've obviously, we were we were going to struggle to get anything out of the Man City game. We knew that we were up against it for that one. We'd have hoped, looking at Villa and Tottenham, we get something out of one of those games. Obviously, we didn't against Villa, so that kind of puts a little bit more pressure on now to say, well, you know, we haven't got anything out of those games. Let's make sure we do get something, at least a draw, but hopefully a win against Tottenham, because, you know, if we're up to it on the day, we are more than capable of getting a win.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do see completely why people say Man City, it's a write-off. And yeah, to be honest, it probably is. But against the other teams in the league, the other 18 teams apart from City, I really do think we've got to go into it with at least a bit of optimism, a bit of hope that we can do something. For me, I suppose that the Villa game demonstrated that whilst we go with a four at the back, we need to be really cautious in not playing too high a line, as Richard really analysed really well on the analysis show. And for me, I do like the signing of Massengo because Cullen looked really isolated in that holding midfield role. I think maybe having the two holding midfielders might be an idea rather than just Cullen and then the likes of Bergeron Dooney sort of drifting halfway up the pitch. So I think that's something interesting to look out for on Saturday, is what formation we go with. But I suppose we could sit here and talk all night about what we might play, who we'd play, but it's better to stick to the facts sometimes. And the next segment, of course, as you loyal listeners will know, is we're going to predict the scoreline. So, I'll break the mold here, and as the host, I'll go first. And I'll say, I know I'm really optimistic usually, and I'd usually go for Burnley win, but I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw simply because I have annoyingly double booked myself and I'm working on Saturday from home, which is 10 miles from the turf. So I'm not going to be able to go to the game, and I really don't want to miss out on a historic first win of the season. So I'm going to plump for a 2-2. Tom, I'm going to go to you first. What's your score prediction?
I'm quite optimistic about this one. I think Spurs have started, they look good, but they look like they've got weaknesses as well. I think it's going to take him a bit of time to get up to speed with the way that Postecoglou wants them to play. Obviously, they had a better result in midweek as well. I know they made a lot of changes, but even still. I think Madison's a big player for them. So if we can keep him quiet, I've got a sneaky feeling we might make this 1-2-1.
Well, if that does happen, I'll be quite annoyed because I will be just sat at home just watching on my iPad whilst doing my work. It'll be really annoying. But Dave, are you going to join Tom and predict a win to make 21,000 Clarets happy and one quite miserable?
Yeah, I'm not going to deviate from what I thought before this show, before we started recording, and I'm going to go for a 2-1 Burnley win as well. So I'm going to agree with Tom. I think just to spite George, Burnley are going to win on Saturday. 2-1.
Well, 2-1. Look, I'm only messing. It would be fantastic, wouldn't it, to get 3 points under our belt and against a side of the quality of Tottenham. That would be a real statement of intent. Now, in terms of the preview show, as you listeners will know, we regularly give Fantasy Premier League updates. So I will let you know that there will be an update coming during the international break. We're going to have an analysis show early next week after the Tottenham game, and perhaps reflecting a little bit on the cup win as well. And then we'll have a Fantasy Premier League update show during the international break. So all that's left for us to do tonight is to reveal the answers of the two quiz questions that we had at the start of tonight's show. So, Dave, without further ado, I'll hand over to your fine self.
The four players we were looking for were Ralph Coates. He played a lot of games for Burnley, 216 league games, 188 for Spurs. We had Aaron Lennon. He's played 74 times for Burnley, probably more than most people think, and a lot more for Spurs, 266. Mitchell Thomas was the third name, 99 league games for Spurs, 157 for Burnley. And the fourth and final name, remember it was ones who played at least 50 matches post-war for both clubs, was Kieran Trippier, 170 league games for Burnley, 69 for Spurs.
Yeah, because that's quite funny. And I know you pointed out the 50 there, because I once you said Aaron Lennon, my mind drifted to Peter Crouch. That's obviously the combination. I'd have completely fallen for that trap and gone for Crouch, but of course he only spent 4 or 5 months with us. Now Trippier obviously was a fine player, weren't he? Tom, just before we quickly move on to the second quiz question, any favourite memories from Trippier's time at the club?
I think the big one for me is the chicken dance at Ewood. That's what I think of when I think of Kieran Trippier. Brilliant player, he's had such a fantastic career as well.
Yeah, he really has. And next, he'll be going up against Kylian Mbappe, won't he, with Newcastle joining PSG, Dortmund and AC Milan tonight. Let's hope he won't be going up against Divock Origi because he'll be in a Burnley shirt. But Dave, anyway, I digress. This the second quiz question. So I believe this was one player who's played for Villa, Tottenham and Burnley in the post-war era.
Yep, and you've mentioned him already. Peter Crouch was the answer.
It's almost like, and I promise listeners, there's a big thing in our spreadsheet here saying, you know, do not, no peeking, don't look. So I didn't actually look that up. It's just a complete coincidence. It's almost like we're professional. But Peter Crouch, yeah, he was fantastic at Tottenham, and he started his career with Villa, right, Dave?
Yeah, had plenty of time at Villa. I think he only played about six games for us. He didn't play that many towards the end of his career, but just kind of came on as a sub, really, didn't he?
Yeah, he was, but he definitely won us that one penalty. I remember that time, and that's where I said to my dad it was worth him signing just for that.
He never scored.
No, never scored, I'm afraid. But he's always, his last club will be Burnley. Anyway, well, that brings our preview show to an end tonight. So, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Here's hoping for a 2-1 victory on Saturday and 3 points on the board. We'll see you next week for the analysis show, and thanks for listening.
The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonenever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.